Because Isaiah chapter 60, verses 3 and verse 6 tells of Gentiles who had come to worship him and who brought gold and frankincense because his own people would not worship and honor him and bring to him gifts. Now, when you look at that, my brothers and sisters, that's an indictment against the church. The people whom God has sent his son and his son has given his life, they won't even freely go into their pockets, to their treasures, and worship God with. They treat him as if it is a burden and a pain to give him anything. And what they miss is, because of him, they've got everything they've got.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Genesis 32, let's do it, book of beginnings. If your legs work, stand on them and go with me to verse 26. As soon as I read it, somebody ought to catch it. Genesis 32, then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, New Living Translation, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I think I'm gonna try it again. Jacob said, I don't care what you say. I'm not, what's up, Mark? Love you, man. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. If you have to push them until they fall, shove five people and tell them, don't let go, don't let go, don't let go. Say, for real, though, don't let go. Tell them, for real, though, don't let go. You may be seated in the Lord's house. We've been in this teaching titled Living My Best Life, and we have discovered that that is subjective, because what really is your best life? Some young, immature people, not these on the front row, would say that some cute guy and somebody to help me with my children would be living my best life. And some brothers would say to get paid, to have unlimited resource, biggest house in the city, cars that I can't even drive, I have so many, that would be living my best life. We have discovered that all of us that have been washed in the blood, picked out to be picked on, brought out of darkness into the marvelous light, we think bigger than that. We think that the best life is when God looks at me and says, well done. It's when I can go to sleep at night with peace and calm, tranquility and equanimity. That is living my best life. And speaking of best life, as we bring this series toward its inevitable conclusion, I thought about the best life and how can one have his best life if it does not involve prayer? And speaking of prayer, I wonder how many of you are familiar with this Genesis 32 text. I mean, everybody seems to know about the wrestling, but the large narrative is this night of prayer that your boy Jacob is having. I was telling the other services this weekend, I just told Akron, this is the first biblically illiterate generation almost since slavery. And when I say biblically illiterate, it's like people know everything. They have degrees, they're smart, but people used to know the Bible. Even grandma, she ain't know a noun from a verb, but she knew them Bible stories. She had listened to her preacher. She had went to Sunday school, couldn't even read. But now you say, and Jacob, and player be like, Jacob from St. Clair? He robbed me. No, not that Jacob, not your Jacob that robbed you, Jacob of the Bible. Jacob in Genesis, you know him. He's one of the patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob, who's on the run from his past. Jacob, whose brother was trying to kill him. Jacob, who had a tricky mama and a bugged out brother. Jacob, whose daddy has just passed. Jacob, who got too many women in his house. Jacob, lean on somebody, say, he might be preaching to me right now. Praise God. Jacob, who has been through a lot, is on the run from his past. And this is the Jacob that God has an encounter with. Yeah, this text, it does. It craves context. It does, so that you can respect the content. And the content of this text is Jacob alone. He just told his family, wait here for me. Matter of fact, look at the next verse. I want everybody to catch this. Look at it, because verse 24 says, this Jacob left alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until day began to break. Let me try it again. This Jacob left all alone. You know why you only got one friend and two cousins left? Because God got to get you alone. The Bible says he tells his wives, multiple, polygamy, pastor. Is that what God wanted? No, sometimes the Bible gives God's description, not his prescription. God never prescribed two wives, but the text describes two wives. It's not what God wanted. As a matter of fact, Paul writes that wrong in the New Testament and says, let every man be the husband of one wife, because trust me, one is enough. Yeah, one will bless you good if you get the right one. Praise God. Anybody talk about one ain't enough, ain't got the right one. Hey, I just felt that. Yabba baba doo. Shake da ba. Honda. Where's my girl? Praise God. Amen. Stop laughing. It is Sunday morning. You're laughing at the Bible. This is so important. Look at me, everybody, because the Bible says Jacob was left alone, and the Bible says there he wrestled with a man. But there he wrestled with a man. Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled with a man. I guess the question that begs asking is, who the man? Who the man that he wrestled with? I mean, get three different scholars, you may get three different answers. I mean, you fool around in Hosea 12, and it talks about the angel of the Lord. English majors, come here, definite article. Look at that definite article. The angel, not some angel of one of many angels, but the angel, as if to say the Jesus, the theophany. And theophany, you know what that is, right? When Jesus comes to you on the low. Remember in the fiery furnace, they said, I thought we threw in three people, but I see four. And the fourth one looks like, look at that, theophany, the Son of God. And here, okay, Genesis 32, by the time you get to the end of this text, the Bible says, and Jacob named the place Peniel, because he says, I have seen God face to face. So Jacob calls this man God. Hosea says the definite article, the angel. Okay, let me break it down. I think Jacob was wrestling with Jesus. I don't know who in here God called you this morning, because it's time to wrestle. God says, I've been playing with your behind, but tonight we're going to get it on. You didn't come to church just to sit next to your neighbor and clap your hands and listen to two slow songs and a fast one and hear 3 points, a joke, and a hoop. I brought you to church because I'm getting ready to wrestle with you. Y'all just missed y'all shout. No, it's going down in 2019, because in 2019, I'm about to get you where I want you to be. And if I got to grab you, if I got to suplex you, if I got to make him break up with you, if I got to make him leave you, if I got to make her walk away, when I get through with you, your name going to change. Y'all didn't hear me. Ooh, put somebody, say, God's about to change your name. The Bible says, and they wrestled. The Bible says, oh, I'm sorry. They wrestled. They wrestled. And every time I think about wrestling, who on the front row? I got YF. I should have put some old school players on the front row this morning. I'm serious, because you talk about wrestling. They're like, yeah, Pastor, wrestling is my sport. I be watching it on television, on cable, and John Cena and The Rock, they're not no wrestlers. Where my old school players at? If I'm gonna know how old you are in about 10 seconds. Big John Studd, The Road Warriors, Superfly Snooker off the top rope. Y'all not having church with me. Oh my God, Dusty Rhodes. And wait a minute, wow! Ric Flair, the player from the Himalayas. Look, you know what? Get off my front row. You don't know who I'm talking about. Andre the Giant. And the greatest of all time, Jake the Snake Roberts, who could DDT you and put you to sleep. Don't worry about that. All I'm simply saying at every campus is I grew up watching wrestling, and Saturday morning with pancakes cooking, and we would turn on, you only have four channels. I got some players here, 3, 5, 8, 19, and 55 if you had the hanger to lean it. Where my old players at? You only can see 55 on certain days if your hanger was just, you know what, how old are you? But when you watch wrestling was not informal. You had to get and grab and grab. And some of you wondering what's going on in your life right now, because stuff ain't easy. And God is not just talking to you, but God then came and started wrestling with you, because he says, where I'm taking you, you're going to have to fight for it. Do me a favor, slap five people, say, fight for it. Go ahead. Say, 2019, you ain't got time to pity pat. 2019, you're going to have to gird up your loins, get down on your knees, find your tongues, pray in the spirit, and say, the devil is a lie. I want my children. I want my life. Slap somebody. Say, fight, 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 fight. I'm talking not to fake brothers. I'm talking to 20 real brothers who tired of lusting, tired of looking at porn, tired of thinking about busting a creep move, tired of thinking about what was wrong with their father, tired of tripping on their past, tired of being depressed instead of having joy. I'm talking to real women who tired of your mama's mess and your daddy's devils and your grandmother's curses and men jumping in and out your life like hopping locusts. The devil is a lie. You're tired of thinking about stuff you can't change and the enemy trying to take you back to a place that you fought like hell to come out of. And I came to tell 20 people, you not coming out easy. God says, if you want it, then let's get with it. Somebody shout downtown. You gotta wrestle. The Bible says, and a man came. Talk about heavy theological construct. And a man came and wrestled with him. I wish I was a better teacher. If I was a better teacher, I could help you see this. Because those of you that grew up reading this narrative and Sunday School 101, let's be honest, Jacob, the wrestling, you all kind of know the story. Here's what I've never lifted homiletically, and I want you to catch it. The text seems to be about this wrestling match. Why y'all all standing up? You can stay. But the larger narrative is about prayer. And I've never presented it this way to this church, so pay attention. It's really about prayer. It's about the night that Jacob had come to the end of himself. It's about the night, and this is eisegesis, Jacob may have had some suicidal thoughts. It's about the night, Jacob said, I'm sick of this now. It's about the night, he says, deliver me or kill me. It's about the night when he says, I'm in nervous breakdown territory.